Blessed Mary, daughter of God the Father, mother of God the Son, and bride of the Holy Spirit, pray for us. My dear brothers and sisters, our pastor, Father Jay, has asked me to speak with you about purgatory. And this for 2 weeks. And so I decided that this first talk will be about life after death, at the moment when we die. What will life be like for us? And the second talk will be life, what will life be like in purgatory? So today we will speak about life after death. Everything, my dear brothers and sisters, everything living, both animals and plants, have a soul. The soul is the principle of life, growth, and movement in all living bodies. However, the human soul is very different from all the other souls because it is spiritual, and because it is spiritual, it is immortal. It never dies. As such, the human soul raises the person to whom it belongs above all other living beings on the earth. Because the human soul is elevated above matter, it gives man the possibility to perform actions that no other animal or plant can do. The human soul is endowed with 2 faculties by which it performs acts that are special to man, special to us. The human soul has the faculty of intelligence, whereby we are able to know truth from error. And the human soul is endowed with the second faculty, that of free will, by which we are able to know good, truth, and to hate evil and lies. In common with God, we have both a mind and a will, the 2 faculties of our soul. And it is because of these 2 natural faculties of the human soul that we have been created by God in His own image and likeness, because God, like us, has a mind and a will, though they are very different. Moreover, when God created us, He did not intend that we should die. While it is natural for all matter to corrupt, God gave our first parents the preternatural gift of no suffering or death, the gift that we call the gift of bodily immortality. They were to pass this gift on to their children by way of natural generation. But it is only because of the curse due to their original sin that death entered into our human life. At the moment of death, we human beings enter into a state or dimension that is completely foreign to us. The moment of death, we enter a dimension that is completely foreign to us. We become a disembodied spirit. A spirit without a body, a bodiless human soul. And what does this mean? As humans, we are made up of two elements joined together to make us into a whole person. We are made up of a material body and a spiritual soul. Our soul is a spirit that has no material parts and therefore can never die, can never cease to exist. And because our soul is a spirit, we are like God and the angels. However, our soul is not a pure spirit, as they are. Rather, the human soul is an embodied spirit, which means it is made to be joined to a material body with all the body's proper faculties. Our bodies are good because God made them to be a part of our human nature. In order to function as humans, we need our bodies. And how do we know that our soul is different from those of animals and plants? All other souls are not spirits, and therefore they end with the death of that to which they give life. Instead, our souls are different from all others, because they are spiritual, allowing us to live above matter by giving us a particular kind of life, a human life. This human life puts us above all other species living on the earth. As you know, everything acts according to its nature. And because of our human soul, we are able to perform intelligent actions. We are able to know God. We are able to understand universal ideas. We are able to laugh. We are able to do mathematics. We are able to write music, we are able to paint, etc. We are able to do this because our human intelligence makes us rational animals. We are animals because of our bodies, but we are rational because of our souls. No other living creatures on this earth is able to reason because it does not have a spiritual soul as we do. When the body is no longer in condition to sustain human life, then the soul must depart from the body. And this departure is what we know as death. At that time, our soul, the principal part of our being, becomes a disembodied spirit without its companion element of the body. The soul is unable to function in its normal human fashion. So once we are dead, we are not able to function in the normal human way. We no longer have the possibility of acquiring new knowledge other than what we have already acquired during this life. The normal way of acquiring the knowledge is through the experiences of our senses. St. Thomas teaches us, there is nothing in our mind that does not first pass through our senses. Without our body, We cannot touch. We cannot see. We cannot hear. We cannot smell. We cannot taste. And therefore, without the five senses, we are unable to gain any knowledge. The soul acts through its body, and with death, the human soul has lost its normal companion, the mortal body. Thus, after death, while the departed soul is still the same person as in this life, that soul is in a completely passive state, no longer capable of acquiring further knowledge in the human way. Any further knowledge must be supplied by God. After we die, when we are dead, any further knowledge must be supplied by God, because we have no body or the senses in order to acquire knowledge. At the moment of death, our soul becomes, and this is very important, immutable. This means that our soul is unable to existentially change the last moral position that it held during life on earth. The soul becomes immovably fixed in the last preference or stance in which it chose to be at the moment of its death. To change one's moral stance, one's existential preference, belongs only to a living person, not to a disembodied soul. Death, my dear brothers and sisters, eternalizes our soul in the moral state we have desired with our own free will to live, whether by carelessness or by God's grace. Upon death, the human person, like a tree when cut down, falls in the direction it is slanted, for good or for bad. If the soul at death is in the state of grace, then that soul is fixed in that state forever, because it is incapable of changing, nor would it want. It has been eternalized. But what about the soul that is in mortal sin? It cannot change because it has become eternalized in its evil state. It remains so for all eternity. And I've seen this in the exorcisms that I perform, in persons that have died. They do not repent of their sin. And they would never change because they have become eternalized. But you might wonder why the soul would not repent of its mortal sins that are responsible for all its misery. The answer is, my dear brothers and sisters, that such a soul, eternally fixed in its evil state, does not will to change. That soul does not regret its sins as guilt, but only as the cause of its sufferings. Such a soul is unwilling to repent because repentance would be sorrow for sin, and such sorrow is impossible and completely repugnant for a soul fixed in evil. Such a soul is only capable of remorse or self-reproach for the sins that is committed, just like Judas Iscariot, who hung himself instead of asking our Lord for forgiveness, just as Peter did, having denied our Lord three times. Between repentance, which is true sorrow for sin, and remorse, which is self-reproach of causing one's own misery, between these two things, repentance and remorse, there is an abyss. Only repentance can bring life. But one who dies unrepentant can only have eternal, unrelenting self-reproach. The departed soul that is fixed in evil hates God, hates itself, and hates all the rest of creatures. It hates even those it held dear in this life. It hates them, and it is jealous of them. My dear brothers and sisters, never fall into mortal sin. Or, if you should fall, go immediately to confession. Never let yourself be found by our Lord as his enemy in mortal sin. And that's what you are if you have committed mortal sin. Theology names death the supreme moment. Why? Because at that time, one has reached the end of its earthly journey, the end of the time for choice and meriting by loving and serving God. This is the reason that God gave us life, to know, love, and serve Him in this world, to be happy with Him in heaven. Repentance for sin is only possible, however, while we are alive. The moral condition of the dead person is eternalized by the last state in which the dead person chose to die. The state of sanctifying grace or the state of mortal sin. It doesn't count anything if you are in a state of mortal sin and didn't have the time to go to confession or didn't feel like it and didn't have the time, you still go to hell. The soul immobilizes itself in and by its own choice. No one goes to hell unless they want to go. And that is why the scripture warns us, call no man hold happy before his death, for by how he ends a man is known. Immediately upon death, the particular judgment takes place. This judgment is called the particular judgment to distinguish it from the general judgment that takes place at the end of the world. At the particular judgment, there are three possibilities open for God's sentence: heaven, purgatory, or hell. In an instant, God Himself enlightens our soul completely and decisively on all we have done, even to the minutest details. This takes place at the instant of our death. God's pronouncement of sentence and its execution are also instantaneous. We have no part to speak for ourselves and our judgment, since God knows all and has already judged us according to our deeds. My dear brothers and sisters, this ends our discussion about life after death. But what are we to take from this? We must be convinced that our triune Lord has made us to be with Him forever in heaven. And the success of our life depends upon how we live the gift He has given us to love and serve Him in this world to be happy with Him forever together. The success of God's work for us, however, depends upon us to use His graces and follow the demands of our respective vocations. It is easy to think that we love God. And it means, oh yeah, I love God. But Jesus gave us the way of verifying our love for Him. When He told us, if you love me, keep my commandments. We must remember that no one is damned except the person who dies in the state of mortal sin. During our life, the Lord, besides the particular graces we need in each moment, has given us the seven sacraments, which are the sure means of His grace, His help to us. Our life, my dear brothers and sisters, mark well, our life must be a love affair with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus has given us His own mother to be ours, and all the angels, also our personal guardian angel, and the saints, to help us in the need, in our needs, in our journey to God. We must be assiduous in prayer, and especially in using the sacrament of penance, and pray for that great gift of final perseverance, that is, when the Lord comes for us in that supreme moment, He finds us in the state of grace. Now is the acceptable time to repent for our sins, because He warned us, saying that He comes for us like a thief in the night. Remember that our Lord has always promised us the grace of repentance to be sorry for our sins, but He has never promised us time to repent. Now is the acceptable time to repent. We must beg God, especially through the intercession of our most holy Mother Mary, for the grace of a happy death. In fact, we do this, my dear brothers and sisters, every time we recite the Hail Mary. The rosaries we say devoutly during our life will be our consolation at the moment of our death. And now let us pray for the help of our loving Mother Mary and our Supreme Lord. Let us all pray together the last part of the Hail Mary. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Yeah.